This morning, I just want us to look at productivity. The whole scriptures of that chapter, the whole chapter of John 15 is talking about fruit bearing. But I chose the word productivity, and I want to begin by saying that words are powerful. It does not matter who speaks the word. Your word, your words you speak out, they are powerful. The one I do speak, they are powerful. I know that in this life, there are people who has gone to prison because of speaking carelessly. And there are some people so who went to prison and with words of mouth, the lawyer or whosoever, speak them out of prison. So we can see the effect and the resultant effect of spoken word all around us. The word of the king is powerful. If the president says something, it stands. In the court, if the judge says something and hits his hammer on the table, that is it. Even when he passes judgment against his mother, the mother will die. So words are so powerful. And I want us to think about it. If the words of men are this powerful, what about the words of God? How much powerful? Above every word of man, do you think the word of God is? And that is exactly what we want to be looking at this morning, because the only way and means of being productive is by feasting in the word of God. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, it's not only being a Christian. You don't become productive just because you're a Christian. In the first instance, what made you a Christian is through the word of God that you were made a Christian. It is through the word of God that you are transformed. It is through the word of God that you are renewed. It's through the word of God that you are sanctified. Yes. And you now answer a Christian. So the word is from day one, and the word also continues till the end. John chapter 1 said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. And the word was made man. So the manifestation of the word of God, Jesus is the manifestation of the word of God. So now it means that the word of God is God himself. And then if we believe that the Bible is the word of God, why then and how then do we say that God does not speak to us? Why then do we say that, oh, I have been asking for direction and God has refused to give me direction? Why then are we looking for miracle everywhere while we have the embodiment of the power that wrought miracle? Yes. Why then are we searching for healing everywhere where he sent forth his word and his word healed them? I want you to think about it this morning. And I want to make you understand that what you are looking for in a distant land is right there in your bosom. The God you are seeking to, you know, trying to see is right there with you. The word and the direction and the instruction you are seeking from God is right there with you. Then, what attitude should we have toward the word of God? Whenever I open this Bible to read, I completely believe that I'm not just reading, but God is saying something to me. Because this is his word. So whenever you begin to search through the scriptures, it's simply God talking to you. Jesus, when he began his ministry, the first message he ever preached, he says, the time is now. Repent and believe the gospel. So you see, many places we have been encouraged because the greatest problem we have as believers is believing the gospel. Unfortunately, it was the same gospel that set us free from the shackles of sin, delivered us from the bondage of Satan. And we sang praise the Lord and we sang hallelujah, I am delivered. But then, after the deliverance, we start having problem again with still trusting the world for every other thing that we will ever need or will ever want as we go, as we move in our Christian journey. The whole problem of Christianity today, and when you see Christians when they are not productive, the unproductive Christians are those who play with the word of God, who belittles the word of God, who think that the word of God is literature, big one for that matter, who does not know that it is by this word that they are lived. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. There is nothing you ever want and nothing you ever desire that does not come by this. There is no problem in the world that has no answer, that has no solution in this. There is no book you can compare with this because in the first place, this is not just a book. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you and my word abide in you, how will the word of God abide in us if we do not daily search? If we do not daily meditate on the word of God? If we do not have time to turn through the pages of this book and listen to God speaking to us, the other scripture we read in Acts of Apostles was talking about the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible says he was coming from worship. He wasn't a Jew, but he heard about God and he had interest. And he bought himself the Bible. And he went to worship. And as he was coming, he was reading. But there was no understanding. And there, because he desires to know, while he opened and was reading and lacking understanding and desiring to understand, the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. Go down to him. There is a work. He needs to understand the word. What am I trying to bring out? Sometimes you think that the problem you have is because you don't understand the Bible. That is not the problem. The problem is that you don't search. Not that you don't understand. Because it is for you to open and to desire to know. And it is for God to come and interpret that word to you. Amen. There was a day I was preaching and I told us that the Bible has a voice. You can never hear that voice until you read. Not just reading, until you search. Not just searching, until you desire to understand. There is spiritual principle to everything. Inasmuch as the Bible says that commanded us to desire spiritual gift. Meaning, if you do not desire, you will not get. You might appreciate spiritual gift. You might love it so much. But if you don't desire it, it won't come. The same way in the Bible, if you just want to read the Bible like every other book, then you will lack understanding. But I tell you, the moment you desire to understand, and you are looking at this scripture and you are asking in your heart, what exactly does this mean? Then comes the voice. It is not going to be Philip all the time, okay? Because Philip might not be here now. But I tell you that with you, the Spirit is there. At all time, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures to all believers. That is the mandate and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But most often, when we study without concentration, when we are going through the Bible and our mind is running from North Carolina to Abidjan, we don't, even when the Holy Spirit is speaking, we will not hear. Before you could receive the voice of the Spirit, you must be calm. You know, the Bible says, be silent in the presence of God. You must be calm and you must tune in everything, because you cannot hear the Holy Spirit with this thing. No, you can't hear him with this thing. You hear him with the ear in the inside, not with the ear in the outside. So until your ear, inner ear is open, spiritual ear is open and tuned to the frequency of the Spirit, you will not. But I bet you, anytime you desire to understand, you will always hear him. Read and ask questions. That's the simple way I teach people. Ask questions. Why? But why is this? You're not asking me. You're asking yourself while you are studying. And you are asking, desiring to know. That he comes. And he comes and begins to explain. And he begins to explain. And he begins to open your eyes. He begins to connect you one from one scripture to the other scriptures. And before you know it, you'll be wondering the little moment you spend in his presence, how much? Remember, a few Sundays ago, we read about the two guys that were going to Emmaus after the death of Jesus Christ. And they were going, debating, talking on the road. Oh my God, what happened? What really happened? Did the man resurrect or did they steal away? And they were all, because there was confusion everywhere. The Bible says, while they commune within themselves, Jesus came in their midst. And when Jesus began to speak, the Bible says they received understanding. They didn't know he was the one, but when he began to minister the word and remind them of this, of that, their eyes were opened. And they knew he was the one. So how many examples am I going to give to really make you understand today that the Holy Spirit is always ready to explain, to interpret the word? The problem is that you are not ready. The problem is that you are in a hurry. Okay, well, I think Brother Joshua said today we have to read the Bible every day. Okay, you are reading and the car is already steaming, waiting for you. It's not going to work that way. You must, even if it is 10 minutes, 10 minutes is not too much. Neither is it too small. But whatever time you are allocating to study and prayer, whatever, no matter how small or how big, let it be a time with God. We call it solitude. Let it be a time with God. Forget about every other case. Forget about every other thing. Spend 10 minutes in God's presence, and God will take care of your day. All together. Spend 10 minutes in his presence and he will make that long journey short for you. The time you invest in God's presence, it is multiplied for over 1 million in what you're going to get in return from God. We labor and we struggle because we are putting God away from it. Bible says it is not by power. Neither is it by might. It is not how strong you are. If it is by strength, then you know those men that have huge hearts and big muscles will be the richest in anywhere, but they are not. It is not by education, otherwise, if you get a PhD, then you are a millionaire. But there are people who are PhD, like three PhDs, and they are begging for food. It is not about what you can do. It is all about what God can do for you. I don't know when believers will learn, God has made us to live completely dependent on Him. God never created us an independent being. Know that He never created us independent. He created us to depend on Him. He created us to look to Him. He created us to trust Him for everything about our lives. Until you learn that little secret, until you learn that little secret, until you stop trusting your strength and begin to trust His power, until you look away from your filthiness that you call righteousness and look for the true righteousness that is in Christ Jesus, until you look away from your disabilities and look at God's abilities, until you look away from your knowledge and embrace the knowledge of God, you never know the road, but God knows the way always. I pray that your journey will not be like the people of Israel who would have traveled 40 days, but they traveled 40 years. Amen. The word of God is powerful. The deliverance you need, the healing you need, the certifications you need, the knowledge you need, the wisdom you need, all is in the word. And God is willing and ready to give them to you. What shall we do in all this we are saying? Number one, spend reasonable time in the word of God daily. Number two, believe what the word of God says. Don't spend time and studying and disbelieving. If you are reading and the place you are reading is talking about healing, even if you are not sick, think about somebody around you who you can claim that scripture on his or her behalf. If you are sick, claim it on your behalf. Don't just read and throw it away. It means God is telling you that I am able to heal you. I am able to heal your cousin, your wife, your husband. I am able. Can you hold me? Because God is always expecting us to hold Him by His word. Any prayer that is made, that is not made according to the word of God, is vain. God does not listen to such prayers. The only prayer that will move God is when you hold Him by His word. Because His word is Him, He can never deny Himself. Believe what you read, what the word says, and go to God in prayer with the same word. Go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, this morning, you said, I read where Jesus healed, meaning that you, God, has a power to heal. And behold, I am here, sick, and your child. By the reason of the same word I read, God, heal me. Very simple. Then, what next? Act according to the provisions of the word. If you pray for healing, believe that God has healed you and act as one who has been healed. Try to do those things you couldn't have done. That is a simple way of manifestation. Some people actually do receive healing, but because they don't believe. You know, when Jesus healed 10 lepers, He says, go to the high priest, show yourself. The lepers were still there. The leprosy was still in their flesh. But Jesus has prayed for them. He says, go and show yourself to the high priest. Then come back and give thanks. That's the way of healing. You can never take faith away from God. Mm-mm. So when we are talking about healing, it does not mean that instantly you will stop feeling that symptoms. No. It doesn't happen that way always. Sometimes it might, but many times it does not happen that way. Because our faith must surely be tried. Now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. If you are praying and asking God for a car, after the prayer, go and buy wheel cover, steering cover. That is the evidence. So that tomorrow you will hold your wheel cover and say, God, I thank you for my car. Faith looks stupid and foolish. But only those who understand the secret get it done. If you are asking God for a child, name your child. If you want a male child, choose a male name. If you want a female, go and buy female cloth or male cloth, children cloth. There must be evidence. You must show evidence that you believe. It is your evidence that will silence the devil. Or else, devil will destroy you with doubt. Because many has prayed, God has answered, but doubt has denied them the answered prayer. Create evidence and show the devil, devil, I'm not playing with you at all. This is my child's cloth, and his name is Joshua. And devil will look at you and say, wow, I've never seen such faith. He will give God because he knows that you are very stubborn in what you believe. But if you are, well, I think God said it. Maybe he will do it. Once devil hears maybe, you have given him a welcome hand. And I tell you, give him 1 hour, he will put you down. Amen. So when you pray, act according to your prayers and wait for the manifestation. There is what I call thankful prayers. Actually, most of my prayers is like that. Well, it might not make sense to you, but if I'm having headache, my prayer is not, God, heal me from this headache. That's not the way I pray. I will say, God, I thank you for the healing of my headache, of the pains in my head. Lord, I thank you for the healing of the pain in my hands. I am giving thanks. What does that mean? I am not doubting whether he will do it or not. And I'm not giving God an option to choose whether to do or whether not to do. But I'm thanking him because he is bound to do it. So when I thank him, it means I'm saying, God, I'm not like open for an option. I am already thanking you, meaning you cannot receive my thanks and not hear me. Then it becomes wrong. And I'm also telling the devil is not, it's not a debatable issue. God has already healed me because healing belongs to God. Therefore, I thank him in advance. That's what I call thankful prayer. But also, if you are, there's nothing wrong praying God heal me. I'm not saying it's wrong, okay? I'm not saying it's wrong. But what I want to, if you have prayed God healed me first, let your tomorrow not be God healed me. Let it be thank you, because I know. Believe that you received it and you shall. That's what the Bible says. When you pray, believe that you received it. And you shall receive this past tense, shall is present future tense. So, meaning, until you establish a conviction that you have received it, you will not. You have to create evidence for your faith. Before you start doubting, verse 8 says, you know, before I start doubting, is it going to work? This word of God we're talking about, is it going to work for me? Verse 8 says, in this is God glorified, that you bring forth fruit. What does that supposed to mean? It means two things. Number one, when God answers your prayer, which is prayed in faith, his name is glorified. And God is interested in glorifying his name. That is the whole essence of you being here, that through you, his glory might be revealed. So if God is interested in his glory, then he will honor it so that he will be glorified. That's number one. So don't doubt whether he will or he will not, because he will do it because of his glory. And before you start talking like Moses, I am a stammerer. Before you start telling me, come on, Lord Joshua, you don't understand. You don't even know my life you're talking about. Maybe my mine is worse than yours anyway. Yep. Maybe my own life is worse than yours. But the problem is not about you. It's not about the kind of life you've lived. It's not about who you are. It's not about your surname. It's not about where you are coming from. God is not answering it because of you. He is not answering it to confirm you. He's answering it for his glory. So who you are, what you are, is not the important thing. As long as you stand by God's words and declare the word of God, either in your life or in the life of any man, God comes to honor it, not to honor you. He comes to honor it so that he will be glorified. So don't tell me I cannot. Don't tell me I am not able, like Moses. No, there is no excuse. Jeremiah says, I am a slow speaker. I don't speak well. God, why would God say, forget about it? Because I will stretch forth my hand, and I will touch your mouth. And I will put in your mouth the words that you shall speak. So don't say you are a child. No, you are not a child. My word shall make you an adult. Because when you speak as a child and God honors it, then you turn to an adult. Even adults will worship you. Amen. Amen. Therefore, there is no room for doubt. Either if God will answer or not, either if the word of God will be true in your life or not, there is no doubt about who you are, the position, your age, or whatever. There is no doubt for this, because Jesus says, my Father is glorified. So because of his glory, God is waiting for you. Therefore, by the virtue of this message, I commission you as an agent of high function. Yes, I commission you this morning as an agent of high function. Don't look at yourself the way you were before. Don't look at your abilities where they were before. Now you are being commissioned by the reason of the word of God as an agent of high function. Remember, the spiritual controls the physical. If you live in the physical, then you are gone. But if you live in the spiritual, if you operate in the spiritual realm, because in the spiritual realm, it will always superimpose the natural realm. No matter the laws that are made on the natural, when you move to the spiritual, it countermotes every natural laws. But spiritual laws will always remain forever. Therefore, I commission you as an agent, and I send you to go. Go and speak life to every deadness. Go and speak healing to every sickness. Go and speak hope to every hopelessness, starting from your life, to your own family, and to the ends of the world. Go forth in the name of the Lord this morning. Speak forth the word of God not your own world. Peter says, silver and gold have I not, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I therefore command you to go in that same name of Jesus that died and rose again, that same Jesus that death could not hold captive, that same Jesus that grave could not withstand, that same Jesus that raised Lazarus from dead after 4 days, that same Jesus that spoke to the seas and they hear his voice, that same Jesus that changed your life. I send you in his name. Go in his name, not in your own name. Go in his power, not in your own power. Go in his wisdom, not in your own wisdom. Go in his own strength, not in your own strength. Go in his name and speak his word. Command the crippled to rise. Command the sick to be healed. Not just by your name, not by the name of Joshua, just by the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Starting from your own life, you must command yourself to rise from your lameness. You must command yourself to rise from that seat of pity where you are sitting and all you desire is that people will pity you. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. You are not a child of pity. You don't want to be pitied by any man. Rise from that seat of pity. I don't know how long you have enjoyed that pity. Oh, sorry. No, 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 no. Rise. Command yourself to rise. In that situation, in that crippleness, in that unproductiveness, in that sickness, rise. And as you rise, go into the world and set every man and every woman free from sickness, free from sin.